last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air. Come on.
This is a State of Trance podcast.
Yes, a warm welcome to a new podcast. And this week I have the pleasure to welcome to the studio Nifra.
Hey, hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And what about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I just heard your guest mix on the show that you played the new stuff from Follow Me Part 3.
That's
really
right.
Really exciting. So that's the reason why you're here in the studio, obviously. We're going to ask you a couple of questions from the fans. But first, I always start the podcast with this question because I think that's the most essential one for a musician. How did you start making dance music, or what tune or what experience sparked the interest for you to start DJing?
Yep. Actually, that was when I was 13 years old and I was visiting my aunt in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around that time that Love Parade was on the TV.
Okay.
Yeah. And they had a live stream, you know, that was part of their, you know, normal thing, normal summer Love Parade. So you saw a live stream on a TV channel, and I just saw the mass of people and different stages, different DJs, and I was like, what is going on?
Why are all these people doing this?
Yeah, like I was blown away. Like, is this dance music what it is all about? You know, is this I was just like, I just started to listen to ATB, for example, around mm-hmm. that time. And when I saw that event, Love Parade, I was like, this is something I have to do. And I don't know why. It's so weird because, you know, I don't have any musical background. My parents were, you know, they don't play any instruments. I heard a lot of music at home, but...
not dance music.
Not really. No. I always was watching like music channels when I was like a child. I remember since I was 6 years old, I was just staring at a TV, watching music videos, and just I really liked that art, you know. And of course, back then there was not really dance music. Well, there was some in the 90s, but yeah, I think that all led up to that moment in Germany and seeing Love Parade and just hearing electronic music and how different it was from what you heard on a normal radio. And I was like...
You were captivated.
Yeah, I was captivated and I really wanted to do this. So first thing, you just start to collect records, obviously, mm-hmm. and just your favorite records and like make tapes, you know.
Mixtapes.
Yeah, it was not really mixtapes because I didn't have any gear at that time when I was 13. I was literally like recording tapes from CDs, you know, and just making your own selection and making it for my dad, for my mom, for family members. And just, you know, here is what I think is the best music. You have to listen to this, you know, and... I guess that's
basically DJing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sharing the music with people that you like. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, and then from 13 years old, you started doing that. You were watching the Love Parade. Do you still remember which DJs you were watching on Love Parade, or is that something
I don't know.
Totally alien? Yeah.
No, I don't remember. But
it was just dance music in general. And
yeah. And the German, you know, like the Viva channel had
the Viva channel. Yeah.
Club Rotation was the dance music, channel. So I was watching that every Sunday or Saturday, I don't know. It was somewhere on the weekend. And so that hour when Club Rotation was on, the TV was mine because I had to listen to everything what was being played and new music, you know. And it was the Eurotrance era. So
Let's Go and Milk Inc.
Yeah,
and
Silver, ATV.
Kate Ryan.
Yeah. So that was the start. And I just started to collect a lot of music and just... spreading my wings basically, because it was not just Eurotrance. Later I started to get to I heard Marcus Schultz, I heard Tiesto, I heard Armin, and that's when I slowly came to trance.
And then you went from collecting or recording tapes from, I don't know, from the radio, from CD, stuff like that, you started to become a DJ.
Yeah. But before that, I heard about Fruity Loops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like 16 and I heard about this program. So I asked my friends who was also into music, but he was doing rock music, but he was still producing on Fruity Loops. And he gave me this on a CD and I installed it. And that was the beginning of my production.
So you started producing before you started DJing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still use Fruity Loops?
No.
I remember Fruity Loops from back then. I think it was also one of the first DAWs that I started using, because I remember it was so easy to have the little screen up where you can just put in the kick, for example, every fourth.
Yeah.
And then I always had an offbeat bass like the Clubheads. That's all I did in that program. And then I switched to Reason later and Ableton. But I remember also using Fruity Loops. Okay, yeah. And so when was the moment that you started mixing? Like, you were like, okay, I'm doing this music right now, but now I want to mix stuff together. I want to be a DJ. I want to be performing.
Yeah, when I was allowed to go to clubs, so I think I was around 16 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I actually was watching the DJs. I was standing right in front of the DJ just to watch what he was doing on the mixer. And, you know, we had CDJs back then, CDJs 100s.
Yeah.
Or
the top loaders.
Turntables. And I was just like paying attention and seeing what they were, how they were mixing, you know. And later my friend asked me, because he knew that I was into music, and they were throwing an event in my city, and he's like, I heard that, you know, that you're playing and stuff. And I wasn't really, I trained a little bit, but I didn't know how to actually mix two tracks really well. And it was just like some kind of funny event in my city. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to join, you know? And he put me on a lineup like first or something.
You're like, okay, now what?
Yeah. And I practiced a little bit at my friend's place, because I still didn't have CDJs at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing on this event and it was a disaster. Like, I could not hear, you know, that I had to beat match. I could not hear those things yet so well. And
so you just start, stop, or you just mixing?
I made a transition, but it was train wreck. Yeah. So after the event, one of the guys in the club told me like, hey, I have a gear. I can borrow it to you. You know, just take it for a week. Just train a little bit and see how it goes. And I got it. And that's when I actually learned how to DJ.
Awesome. That's so maybe without that person you wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy deserves a medal for this, you know, for helping me out with borrowing the DJ gear.
Wow, that's awesome. And then you started DJing a little bit more, maybe something like that, and your production skills also went up, of course.
Yeah, I was making music at home, and that was the only thing I did, you know. Before that, I was really good at the high school, you know, I had the best grades, but in the middle of that, something changed and I started to like put so much time into music and just like producing and training. And that was the only thing I wanted to do. I could not, you know, that was the only thing I looked forward to when I came home from school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
And then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think your first single was Ready.
Yeah, it was
in
Ready.
2008.
2008. Yes.
So how long? That's one of the questions I always ask in these podcasts too. So how long did it take you to, from the first moment that you started producing to release Ready?
I think
how long
was,
did it take you to
yeah,
create
I think
a skill
that was
set?
Like 6 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 20 or 21 when this one was out. I'm not sure, but no, I was 20. 20. Yeah.
That was when Ready came out.
Yeah. Like 5 years or so.
Unbelievable. So, but I know how long. It's funny. Sometimes people come in here and say, "Well, it only took me 1 year to get the knowledge that I need
but
to
don't
have."
Don't forget. Back then, I didn't really have internet. I couldn't. There,
that's
I had
what
nobody.
I'm saying. Yeah. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have YouTube tutorials. I remember. I'm gonna sound old. I know I'm old.
Yeah.
But when I started making music, all the knowledge that I have was stuff that you either from books. I have books at home from the Wave Bundles and stuff like that. So you needed to look it up, or Computer Music Magazine had tips in there. There was no tutorial on. Well, now I go on YouTube. I'm like, how does Ben Burmer create his lead sound? Well, type it in. Ah, there's a tutorial. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I wish.
No,
I had
that was
back then.
That was definitely not the time then. And, so yeah, it took a little bit longer, but I'm still happy with my journey. So, you know.
That's awesome. You already mentioned it. You started playing with CDs, mm-hmm. like you're DJing, but there's actually a question that comes in from Twitter, and this is really spot on. From Tom Neeson, you learned to mix vinyl during the pandemic. What are the chances of fans seeing you do a vinyl DJ set? And which vinyl is the number one on your vinyl want list?
Oh, nice.
That's some good questions.
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually did mix vinyl before that, you mm-hmm. know, around that period when I was learning how to DJ. But it was never to the point that I could actually really beat match those tracks, because vinyl was a little bit harder, you know, with the cues, and it's completely different. So
100%.
I just rediscovered this during Corona, during the pandemic, and now I'm like a pro.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of how do you say it? A lot of practice.
Yeah.
And what I feel is that I also did it. Started mixing vinyl again during pandemic as well, and I really got rusty. And the funny thing was, when Armin and Ferry did their back-to-back set here in the studio during the pandemic as well, I think, or just before, they were train wrecking as well.
Really?
I'm like these guys, they toured the world and they beat matched, I think, within like 1 or 2 seconds in the past. And now they were like, it felt like they were struggling a little bit. Like, correcting.
Were they practicing before?
I don't know. I don't think so. They were probably, we've done this so many times.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, CDJs are just a little bit easier.
But I think that the experience of playing for so many years already, that also made it a little bit easier for me to rediscover, you know, how to beat match on turntables.
Yeah, of course, because you know where to mix in. And
Yeah, and just beat matching is not a problem, because you hear after so many years, like, what is going on. So, yeah, I would definitely like to. We actually wanted to do a vinyl set together with Fisherman at our Open to Close last year mm-hmm. in here in Holland. We had the 9-hour set, and the last hour was supposed to be a vinyl hour with the best classics.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of resonance, so we had to stop. Like after 10 minutes, we had to stop and just continue with the CDs. CDJs.
So you had all these classics lined up. You're like, oh, I'm going to play this one. This At first, you had a pre-selection already for hours. I'm going to play this one. I know how it feels. It's terrible.
And another question was, what was my number one on a wish list?
Yeah, which vinyl is your number one on your wish list?
Well, I had number one, which was Estuera Flow. Mm-hmm. But that one I already got for Sinterklaas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
From Estuera. That's like old Intrinsic Trust or Black Hole?
Yeah.
Some of these vinyls, especially from Estuera, from the Intuition period, they are so expensive.
Yeah. And this one is also like quite rare. Like there is not so many. So I got a gift and I'm so excited to do another vinyl set and to just play it again. It's such a powerful stuff from Estuera back then.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, definitely. But so which was your number two then on your list? Do you know anything off the top of your head that you want to have?
We have like, me and Fisher, we have like, I think almost 500 tracks on the wish list. So I really don't know. We got some of our really favorites, really wanted ones already, but there's still so many. I cannot. You just go and check it out. I will be happy with anything. If you want to send us something, just go and check out the list on Discogs.
Oh, you have your whole vinyl collection on Discogs as well?
Yeah.
Me too. That took a long time to put it in, to be honest. But it's nice to see with such collectors. I love it. All right, more questions from Instagram, and on the top of the list, Fisherman Official has a question. Any more Open to Closes coming with Fisherman?
Oh, wow.
There's a shameless plug in there, because I know there's something coming in the future, but tell us about it.
Wow, that's funny. I didn't know he sent a question. We are doing Open to Close on October 1st, 9-hour set again. So we did it last year, which was postponed for 1.5 years because of Corona. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. We decided we want to do it again. So October 1st this year, we're going to do OTC back-to-back at Grenzwerk in Venlo. So
awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm doing one at Grenzwerk also.
Yeah, that's
true. It has been postponed for 4 times already. So
I know.
I don't know if people are still coming. But if you're watching this and you want to see Open to Close on myself, shameless plug as well, please come out.
Guys, come.
Come.
Yeah, Ruben is going to play for 9 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to stream it as well, right?
I hope so. Yeah. That's the planning to do that, actually. More questions? Let's just jump into it. Trancy Clopity wants to know, which classic trance track still inspires you?
Yeah, that would be Estuary of Flow. That would be one of them, definitely. The really dark saw bass line in there, you can, oh my God. And the groove and the plucks in that track, this is all about what I like about trance in that era. So, yeah.
So it wasn't on top of your list and you actually got it for Sinterklaas.
Mm.
But do you remember hearing that one for the first time?
Yeah.
Definitely. Still vividly?
Yeah.
And ever since the moment has been like the pinnacle for yourself to...
Yeah, one of them. Definitely. Absolutely.
If you would go
and check it out, Estuera with Flow, you will hear the sound so well that it is also a little bit like the Cole Harbour sound because of the bass line and the plugs. It's just really dark, but really up-tempo track.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 140 BPM or something, 138, but it doesn't feel like... It doesn't have the normal, the usual uplifting structure. It's more like a progressive sped up. So
I was thinking back of all the stuff that Jonas Stur created in the past. He created so much beautiful music.
Yeah.
I think he needs to make a comeback or something like that.
Well, he did.
Well, more like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I would love to hear more
because
stuff
like that.
Because
it's still
fresh. Yeah.
In my opinion, to be honest. What is your favorite DJ company? I guess that's who's your favorite back-to-back DJ that is not Fisherman. Question by Ed. MDER578Y. Let's turn this around and just say, if you could do a back-to-back set, which is not with Fisherman, who would you pick to do it? Okay, and let's take away Marcus Schulz also. Should I just take away everything that...
Oh my God. Armin would be fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so we have to ask him if he wants to do
just
that.
Tell him, you know, next time.
Okay. I'll ask him. All right, let's put aside a little bit the questions. I'll get back to those because you have a lot of them. A lot of people submitted questions again. Because something happened in 2021. The birth of Milo Ace.
Yeah. Milo Ace, yeah.
Now, we had daddy DJs in the studio, but never, how do you say it? Mommy DJs in the studio before. And I know how much time and effort you put into streaming, into your social medias, into, well, your album.
Yeah.
How are you combining all of this ever since you became a mom?
It's not easy, trust me.
Okay.
I never expected it would be that hard to combine because, you know, when you have a baby, it requires all the attention. I mean, there is nothing else. And I was like, oh, maybe after 2 months I can, you know, start to do things, you know, and like produce and stuff. But no, that was not possible at that time. So, it took some time to find a routine and like, you know, navigating through motherhood and just, it was also new for me. Isaac been there already, so he already has 2 kids.
He's like been there, done that.
Yeah, he was telling me everything. Like, this is what we're gonna do. That what we're gonna do.
He like and...
No, he actually wasn't like that. He was like, yeah, he's gonna sleep most of the time, and yeah, right. No, but he's super sweet, and thankfully he sleeps most of the time really well. So we know that from 7 p.m. I can just do everything I need to do. During the day I don't really work because I need to give him attention and just be with him. And he doesn't go to daycare yet. So, but
as soon as he's going to daycare, it's going to be like, oh, mommy can finally make some beats again.
No, I made some music. I made some music, but during the nights, you know, mm-hmm. evenings and nights, when I could, but it was definitely a challenging year in terms of like, you know, this
refining a structure into, yeah. Because the career of an artist, it's not a 40 hours job. It's a 200 hours job.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Finding time and a baby in there is unbelievable. Well, massive respect to you as well. And Isaac, of course, as well. It's going to be challenging when you're going to tour.
Well, actually that we kind of have taken care of.
Okay.
Whenever I'm on tour, Isaac will be home.
So you never do shows together?
We do. For example, this week we are doing New York.
Mm-hmm.
Together. So we have his parents to take care of him. And he's turning 1 year almost. So it's different than having like a 2-month old baby that we could not do this together yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, you know, he's much easier and plays a lot. And it's just super fun, you know. It's like almost a toddler. So, yeah, his parents are helping out whenever we have show together, which is not really that often.
Is he already as witty as Isaac is?
Sorry?
Naughty.
Yeah. He's super funny. And he loves when Isaac makes funny faces. And just, you know, Isaac is super funny. So he loves that. He loves to be with him. Sometimes I think he loves him more than me because of his, you know, character. But yeah, it's fun. It's a journey. And but I'm glad that I finished, you know, the compilation. And we had more troubles with that actually, but maybe we can.
Yeah. Because in the episode you told it a little bit already about that you were supposed to release this compilation early, but your computer.
Yeah, my new MacBook died in November.
Yeah.
I had my finished music there. I had the compilation almost mixed.
And you didn't have a backup.
No, I didn't have, because it was just 1 year old MacBook.
Yeah.
So I thought like, hey, I have another one, which is 6 years old, and I never had any, you know, problems with it.
Oh no.
And so I lost everything, my album stuff, which was on it, artist album stuff that I already was working on, and everything was gone. And my track Getaway was also there, which was 90% finished. And it definitely needed some more work.
But the structure was there.
Like the structure was there, yeah, but I didn't have a render because everything was...
No.
So I produced Getaway from scratch again.
Is it sounding the same?
The leads, yes, the main idea, but it's slightly... I remembered how I did it, but not everything. So I just made a new...
Oh. I hate to say it, but I have had a similar situation as well. Like... my iMac is crashed and I think I lost 3 years of projects.
Wow.
Like maybe one or two were actually done and rendered, so luckily on another computer, but all the project files are gone. So ever since that moment, and you're probably doing the same.
Yeah.
I produce everything on Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
It's backed up on Google Drive. I have a backup drive running as well. And I have one of those Wi-Fi things in the closet that backs up also.
Wow.
Never again.
Yeah.
Because I know how it feels. I felt sick to my stomach. I was almost puking just because of the amount of work that you lose. But you had the same.
Yeah, and the thing is, like at the Apple Store, they don't even want to help you with the recovering. They just have to remove everything what is in there because of the privacy issues. And so I was like, I just straight away they told me like, don't even count on it that we're gonna recover anything.
That's why I switched to PC now.
I'm so surprised because I never had this before and I'm just really disappointed like that the 1 year old MacBook just died.
It shouldn't happen. No.
Yeah.
Well, a question from Nadine actually. She's also an active Twitch streamer and she says, what advice would you give to upcoming female DJs and producers? Because we have to touch base on this. There is way too little female DJ and producer in the trance scene. Techno is luckily it changed a lot in the last years. Is it that the new generation doesn't want to jump in the trance or...
I don't know.
Anyways, in general, what advice can you give?
It's such a controversial question.
No, man, I think it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, 100%. Techno. What I see in a techno is that the female artists are getting a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't have to work 10 times. Maybe they do. I don't know how much they work, but I just see like they're really getting opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And you see lineups that is almost 50-50 sometimes.
Or
even
the
more.
Other way around. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I just wish that trance would be the same. I'm trying for already more than 10 years to, you know, to be one of the guys. I don't know if I'm doing a good job. I hope I am. But I know how hard work it is. And I always been, like you said, like working in the scene, it's not 40 hours, it's 200 hours.
Plus,
yeah. You just have to be constantly working and constantly thinking, what can I do? You know, just like with the compilation, just creating the whole concept already since first one and just thinking about all kinds of interesting stuff that you can do and just make yourself stand out maybe.
Yeah. So
Producing is
key.
Absolutely.
Of everything. Yeah. I think say this is the right thing, the advice that you give is create a brand, work on stuff, special projects, make yourself stand out, yeah, and just work your ass off. That's basically absolutely what it is. Yeah.
I cannot make it any easier.
No, but
for
I think not because you're a nice person. I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people as well, like female artists to actually go out there and also produce a lot of music. Yeah. Because I think there's too little producers also on that side. On one side, we have Haley Ann, for example, rocking all the stages, and I love it. And I know that she also produces music. And I think more people need to have that opportunity that she also grabbed, because she's such a hard worker as well,
yeah,
together
absolutely
with Matthew.
Haley Ann is, so,
yeah, I think
you see that that she's working so, so hard, and the result is there. You know, she's doing a tour now, and as a singer, that's amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I love to see it, to be honest. And let's hope that the trance scene is going to follow the techno scene soon.
Yeah.
So that's up to also the people, also the artists, because you need to work so hard on
and
it.
And also the
and
people,
also promoters.
Yeah,
and stuff
promoters,
like that.
Yeah, and the people to open their minds, because sometimes I see this kind of stigma that when they see a woman, straight away it's like, she cannot do this. She sucks. Even though, you know, like I did a guest mix this year before, two of them. And sometimes I read comments like, that was bad transition or something. I know what is a bad transition. Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just they have
stereotypes.
To write. Yeah. They just have to write something like that, because that's what they, I don't know. It's just something that they cannot see a successful woman or a woman doing things that a guy can do as well. They just can't, I don't know.
Yeah, luckily, I think weird. Like there is some female artists that are really rocking it right now that are upcoming as well. For example, Amy Wiles, Siskin, they're doing amazing stuff. So let's hope for more in the future.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for answering that one. Ben McConnell, question, since you're part of the Cold Harbor crew, what is your favorite all-time Cold Harbor classic?
Wow.
I know one, but you can go first.
Ooh, one of them, definitely Rex Mundi with Susanna,
Nothing at all, yeah.
Another Rex Mundi. No.
Bit biased there, no.
Definitely stuff from Marcus. Yeah, there's so many. Oh my God, I can't. Finn's stuff that he released. Yeah, there's so many.
Oh, yeah, the Cold Harbor selections in the past with Electronic Elements, and you had Cold Harbor. That was the... my favorite is actually two. Beat Service Outsiders.
Oh, yeah, of course, Beat Service.
And Skytech.
Comet,
yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely, yeah, those two. Arne also did... sorry?
Dust in the Wind, and also...
Yeah, the other one.
Come Back for More, or...
He had so many similar titles.
Yeah.
I cannot remember.
Sorry, Arne. But it's good stuff.
They always come back or something.
Yeah. Something that's like that. That's the ones, exactly. That was actually a question that came about even more times. Matthew Turner wants to know, who would you like to collaborate the most in 2022?
Since I'm working on an artist album, which hopefully is going to be finished this year, I have a couple of really cool vocalists that I have on it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mention yet like who that is. But
why not?
Because I want to keep it a secret for now.
Ah, come on, no one's listening.
There is a few vocalists, of course. I think we're going to do something with Fisherman again. And I think we also have a track on his album.
Okay.
Well.
So there's a little scoop in there, because now you say Fisherman's coming with the album and that you worked on a track with Fisherman on his album.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry, Isaac, she just threw it in there. You're working on the album. HNH Hache Hain wants to know, what is your best production so far, if you had to choose one? That's
always
a hard one.
I always have feeling that the latest one is always the best for some reason. But I had the feeling with Resistance last year.
That you hit something special, yeah.
Yeah, that it was a really, really cool track. I was really, really proud of that one. And now Getaway, I really like how that one turned out. So the new one, Getaway, would be my favorite at the moment.
That's easy to say. And a good plug as well for Follow Me Part 3. That's a good bridge built there right now. Because your new compilation is out. What can you tell about Follow Me Part 3? Besides that, it's part 3 in the Follow Me series.
Yeah, actually, you know, the first track is called Kepler 22b.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to, you know, when the first one was out, the first CD, I was like, yeah, follow me, follow my journey, follow the musical, you know, what I do and what style I play. And just, and with the second one, the first intro track was DRS 2b, which is the darkest planet
okay.
that we know about. So I started to, you know, combine it a little bit with NASA and
yeah.
Just exploring the planets. And this one is Kepler 22b. So you're following me to Kepler 22b, which is a planet similar to Earth.
Wow, you're such a nerd. That's good though. And you already say like it's your journey of the sound that you currently play. What is the biggest difference of number one, number two, number three? Is there a shift in sound, in style in there?
Yeah, I can definitely hear a little bit from the beginning of the CD of the third one.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little bit of techno influences in there, which
techno?
Is...
techno? You're from the south? Techno, yeah.
How do you say it here?
Techno.
Techno.
But it's the... you live in the south, so I'm sorry, okay. You're excused.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So there's a little bit more techno.
Yeah, a little bit darker start with Sean Alexander, for example, mm-hmm. Redline, and going into Force's remix of Marcus Schultz, Remember This, and then Nomad Signal of my track Resistance. They're very techie oriented a little bit. So that's the biggest shift, I would say.
Okay.
And then building it up. So yeah. Just building like a normal set, actually.
I think it's crazy because when before you went on the show, of course, I checked the track list and stuff like that. I didn't know any of the tracks on there. Well, except maybe your remix for Christina Novelli.
Yeah, yeah.
So because we played it on the show already. How do you come about creating such a concept and how do you manage to keep everything exclusive for such a long time?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Some people really had to wait, I think, almost a year to get this out. Their tracks, like Daxon, he sent me this demo.
Seven Dimension.
Yeah, Seven Dimension. He sent me a couple of tracks, and this one was like, oh, I have goosebumps. This is the track that I want for the compilation. And then later on, I started to ask more producers. You know, since I do a lot of Twitch sets as well, I have my favorites, you know, that release music that I really, really liked. And I started to ask people and, you know, they were like, yeah, I would like to make something for you. So they actually made tracks for the compilation.
Especially for the compilation.
Yeah, some people really made specially for the compilation tracks. And there is also my remix for Super 8 and Tap, which was already released but on Andrewda Beats, but like, I don't know, 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
3 months ago. But the rest, I think 18 tracks is all exclusive, unreleased stuff.
Props. And it's out now, so people can listen to it. Follow Me Part 3.
Yes.
Also on CD.
It's also on CD. Yeah.
So if you're a CD collector, make sure to grab a copy of that one.
Yeah, it's a trilogy. It's a trilogy right now.
Yeah, so collectors need to have all of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a cool color. You know, the first one was more toward red and pink. This one is like a turquoise and the previous one was like purple, dark blue.
Okay.
So it's a cool concept and they all look really cool together. So, and they sound really good, I hope.
Well, thank you so much for answering all these questions. We're way over time already.
Really?
So that's how fast time goes. So thank you so much for answering these questions. Good luck with, of course, the release and also a special stream that you recorded at the Papierfabriek in Nijmegen.
Yes.
So make sure to check that out on YouTube, Twitch or whatever.
Yeah.
Nifra, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Next time, we're going to be back with special guest here for the podcast with Colony. See you then. Bye-bye.
To check full episodes of A State of Trance for free, simply visit ArminRadio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.